Well, take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, and turn once again to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. For the recent duration here, we've been looking at some of the attributes of God, and over 430 times the Bible mentions God of whatever. Most of them are Israel, or Father, or Fathers, or Hebrews, or something like that. But there are a few in there. We've talked about some of them. One of them being the God of Truth. That was a couple weeks ago. And then last week, we talked about the God of Love. And then tonight, we're going to kind of piggyback off of last week's, because he mentions it in conjunction form, the God of this and this. So we're going to look at the second one tonight. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, looking at 2 Corinthians in chapter 13, beginning in verse 11, I'll read them out loud. You can follow along silently here in verses 11 through 14 of 2 Corinthians in chapter 13. It says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. And the God of love," we read about that, "and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with an holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." Being the God of truth is so very important, so very critical, and really it ought to be a comfort to us that we can say that God, who cannot lie, okay, he is the truth, and anything he says or does is truth. And then to go on even further and say that we serve and we worship and we trust in the God of love, for God so loved the world. I mean, it's really fantastic. Can you really wrap your minds around it? I don't know if you've gotten over the message last Wednesday night. You say, "Well, I haven't heard it yet." Well, you need to go watch it. Okay, it's there on Facebook. You just scroll down and look at it there. And there it is. But we talked about that God's love is just one of those deep chasms. I don't know if we can ever figure it all out. How wonderful it is to serve the God of love. Here, as Paul is wrapping up this letter to the Corinthians, he tells them to live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. What is this thing, peace? Right? Everybody's quick to, "Yo, peace, what's up?" You know, they like to throw up the peace sign. I missed the 60s. Okay? Yes, I'm actually not too disappointed about that. And I was born at the later part of the 70s, and I don't know if that was any better. But some of you, perhaps, maybe in here, had an opportunity to live through the 60s, right? Pastor Gomez always used to say it was a time of peace, love, joy, and greasy hair. That was the 60s. That's how he describes that. But that's not what we're talking about, right? What does it mean when we say the God of peace? Well, if we want to really understand it, of course, we're going to go to Scripture and find out what the Bible has to say about it. But just to kind of help us get a head start, it's basically a state of tranquility. And also quietness, but not necessarily silence, if you know what I mean by that. It's freedom from disturbance or agitation, applicable to society, to individuals, or to the temper of the mind. It's freedom from agitation and disturbance of the passions, as far as fear, terror, anger, anxiety, or the like. It's quietness of mind, calmness, quiet of conscience. That's what we're saying when we're saying the God of peace. And let me just kind of give you an idea here. He says, live in peace, and the God of peace shall be with you. When we decide that we are free from these things, that's a peaceful life. Free from fear, free from terror, anger, anxiety, or things like that. We're not disturbing. We're not disturbed. We're not agitated. There's a quietness of the mind. Where does that come from? It only comes from God. This world cannot provide peace for you and I. Why? Because it's against God. If God is the God of peace, then whatever the world has to offer is going to be the opposite. We've already talked about that. If God is the God of truth, then whatever the world has to offer is going to be the opposite of that. If God's the God of love, then whatever the world has to offer is going to be the opposite of it. And the same is true here. God is the one that is the source of peace. He's the source. So how is it that He has passed on enabled us or allowed us in, or made us be able to have this state of tranquility, this freedom from disturbance and agitation? Well, first of all, we're able to have this because it comes from Him. It's peace through His Son. Jesus Christ is the key to unlock peace in your life. He's the key. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7, you remember this verse? It's probably quoted every Christmas program or every Christmas pageant, as far as a Christian sense, that you can remember. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, all of you know the rest of it, the Prince of... Oh boy, there it is. So just in retrospect, if He's the Prince of Peace, and He's the only begotten of the Father, then what does that make God? The King of Peace. Yeah, He's the God of peace, folks. And it's through His Son, the Prince of Peace, that we can unlock this state of tranquility, this freedom from agitation and disturbance, is through Jesus Christ. It says here of the increase of His government, and peace shall there be no end upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And then in Luke chapter 2, as the shepherds there were out on the hillside, and this chorus of angels comes down and they're just in awe, right? They're trembling in fear. And it's told unto them this good news: for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And what? And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. We obtain peace through His Son. Those that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior have no peace. Remember back to your life before Christ. What was it? Was it tranquil? Quiet? Were you free from fear, terror, anger, anxiety, and the like? Did you have calmness and quiet of conscience? Tranquility? Quietness of mind? Before Jesus? No. Not at all. But when you turn from your trespasses and sins, you turn to Christ and receive salvation. What overcame you? Anyone? Nobody. Okay. Well, okay. Let's see here. Romans chapter 3. We need to have a salvation lesson here. What overcame you? Peace. You know, I love the opportunity to talk with people after they trust Christ as their Savior. And I like to ask them, how does that, and again, it's not about emotions or feelings, but I like to ask them, how does that make you feel? You know what? Almost all the time people say, just peaceful, like the weight of the world's been lifted off my shoulders. Because it has. He is the one that brings peace. The God of peace. Over in Luke chapter 10, as Jesus sends out the disciples two by two, he says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. And if not, it shall turn you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, and into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. What is God? He's the Son of Peace. He provides peace for us. He's the Prince of Peace. He is our peace. For without Him, without salvation, without the knowledge of Christ, we have not peace. In Acts chapter 10, as Peter was preaching, he opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. But God raised him up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, to give him all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. He's our peace. He's our Savior. He's the one who rescues us from that anxiety, who rescues us from the fear of spending eternity in a place called hell, and gives us the quietness, the calmness, the serenity, the tranquility that comes with salvation and eternal life.
Nothing else can do that, folks. Nothing else.
And many of the greetings to the people in the early church, it says things like this: to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 1, it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The very knowledge of Him gives us peace. Because peace comes through the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Another way that we know that peace has come to us is through the Word of God. This book is not grievous to us. It's not grievous to follow His commands. It's not grievous to go along with and order our lives and live our lives by this book. It's actually quite peaceful. It's quite peaceful. Why? Because it's God's way. And if we walk in God's way and the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, then what? He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Before the Lord is the one that's guiding us and taking care of us and holding our hand and sustaining us. This book is not something that ought to cause you anxiety and fear. It ought to rather give you peacefulness and calmness and tranquility. You say, you're just saying that because it fit into your outline. No. Don't you remember the year and a half we spent studying the wonderful Word of God? If you've so soon forgotten, I can start it over again. Great, what? Peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I mean, really, I have about half dozen other verses here. I really only need to use that one. Great peace have they which love thy law. You mean, Pastor, if I learn to love this book, peace will enter into my life?
Yes.
Yes, 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 and yes. You say, but boy, there's some things in here that I just really don't care for. Join the club. You know what club it's called? The flesh club. Yeah, the carnal club. Your flesh and your carnal nature, your natural man, doesn't like these things. But the spiritual man does. The spiritual man loves it. Do you love this book? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Remember the wisdom of Solomon. He says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days, good. Long life, good. And, oh, you guys are fantastic. You're getting this really well. And peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Does that sound peaceful to anybody? Absolutely. Where does it come from? This book. It comes from His Son. We have, when we trust Christ to receive salvation, peace. When we learn to love this book and live by it, peace. From the God of peace. It's His to give, is it not? He's the source of it. We want it. How many of you want to live in anxiety and in fear and in depression and in turmoil? No thanks. I'd rather live in peace. I'd rather have calmness of mind. I'd rather have tranquility. I'd rather be free from disturbances and agitations. Works for me. How are we going to get it? Through His Son. How are we going to get it? Through His Word. And there's one more. If you'd like to, you can take your Bibles and turn over to Romans chapter 14. Not only can we find peace through Jesus Christ, and peace through the Word of God, we ought to be able to find peace through His church. Can I tell you something, folks? This should not be a place of strife and bickering and backbiting and envy and such and such and such and such and such. I'm sorry. It just shouldn't be here. This is not the place for it. This is the anti place for that. You say, but Pastor, you just haven't been around enough churches. Oh, I've been there. Again, I like to borrow a particular phrase. Brethren, these things ought not so to be. Yes, I know that's not the context of it. I understand. I told you, I'm borrowing it. Okay? It shouldn't be like that. Look what it says here in Romans 14. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth, is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Peace should be through the local church, folks. Because it's related, right? I mean, you think about it. You have the God of peace, the Son of peace, this Prince of Peace, Christ, peace through Him and His Word. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And why would it not be peaceful at church and through His church? By the way, aren't we the body of Christ? Aren't we supposed to be? And He's supposed to be the head, right? So if He's the head and He's peace, what are we doing being strife? Are we opposing the head? If the head's peace, then the rest of the body should be peace. It just kind of works that way, doesn't it? We ought to be what He is. And it ought to be a place known for peace. I don't have time to read all of Colossians chapter 3. But do you understand
that Christ is supposed to be our affection. Christ is supposed to be the thing that we seek. We're supposed to be seeking these things that are above, not in the things that are here on this earth. You know what that brings? It brings peace. When we focus on that and not on all this, that's peaceful. Hey, remember the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh. Who is that? Us, the body of Christ, the church. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not in every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. What does that sound like? Peace. Peace. Where is that? In the church. It's in the church. In the body of Christ, amongst believers. Folks, we're supposed to do these things. We're supposed to live this way. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, how then is it, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or that most, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. And if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace, for ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, that all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophet are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So where's the peace supposed to be? In the church. In the church. Now, we're not going to talk about the whole topic of tongues right now. I'll just say to you this. It was not some heavenly gibberish. He's talking about a known language. Okay? If you want to know more about that, we can discuss it later. I wanted to emphasize the ending of it. God is not the author of confusion. The church is not supposed to be a place of fear, anxiety. It's supposed to be a place of peace. Are we going to decide to accept this peace? Remember what our text said? He said, live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. There's a condition to it. Is he offering peace? Yes. Is he the God of peace? Has he sent to us the Prince of Peace? And has he given us the book that contains peace? If we learn to love it, we'll have great peace. And is his church supposed to be a factory of peace and a place of peace in this unpeaceful world? Absolutely. But what's our decision? To live in it. We decide if we're going to live in a state of tranquility, free from disturbance and agitation, free from terror, fear, anger, anxiety, and the like. Remember what I read in Proverbs? Trust in the Lord. We've got to trust Him. We've got to put ourselves under the God of peace. And what will come to us? Peace. It's really that easy.